Okay, so we are holding in Shoftim chapter 17, Perek Yodayin. We are moving on from the long discussion of Shimshon. And we will. This will be the next two chapters. I think we'll cover the story of Pesel Micha, the idol, the graving image created by Micha. Now, interestingly, we'll see that this event does not occur after Shimshon. This, and as well as the last two events of Sefer Shoftim are related to each other. This topic of Pesel Micha, and then followed by the story of the Pileges Begiva, the terrible story of the concubine, which we'll get to. Both of these events occurred actually right at the beginning of the Jewish people's time in Israel. Let's see the first pasuk. It says, "Vayhi ish mehar Ephraim, ushmo Michayu." There was a man from Har Ephraim, and his name was Michayu. So this is where the commentaries already tell us that this did not happen at this juncture. Rashi says that even though these parshiot of Micha and Pileges Begiva are written here, but really they happened way at the beginning of Shoftim, in the time of Othniel ben Kenaz. They bring as a proof to this that the Mishkan was still in Shiloh.
What was the proof?
I believe that the way Rashi says it is that Kol Yemeheyos based. We're going to see in the pasuk that this happens while the Mishkan is in Shiloh, and I don't remember. I don't know if I covered this when the Mishkan moved. But I guess at this point already, we haven't really talked about where the Mishkan is, but it seems from this that the Mishkan is no longer in Shiloh and is maybe in one of the other cities where Mishkan went to a number of different cities before they built the Beis HaMikdash. And
couldn't have gone back to Shiloh?
I guess there's no record of that.
Maybe there's no record
right.
of it.
Okay. The other thing that we'll see is that the characters in this story are referenced as people who actually were in Mitzrayim. So these are going to be, So that's the important background here. That this is happening at the time, back in the time of Othniel ben Kenaz. Now, also, here he's referred to as Michayu. And later, shortly after this, he will be called Micha. And the Mepharshim say that this shows that at the beginning he was a tzaddik, he was righteous, and later on he went bad. And we'll see that's going to be, a question of how that fits into all the chazals. It won't necessarily fit into everything, but that's what the Malbim says over here. Other Mepharshim say that Michayu, having the name of Hashem, representing at the end of his name, the Yud, then Hey, then Vav at the end, which represents having the name of Hashem at the end of his name, that shows that he still was connected now, but later he's going to be called Micha, and that will represent a drop-off in his religious observance. So Pasuk says, Pasuk says, Vayomer l'imo, and he said to his mother, Elef u'meya hakesa shirukasla, the 1,100 silvers that were taken from you, that were stolen from you, the at alis, And you curse the person who took them. The gam amart the oznai. And you even said it right into my ear. Dinei hakesef iti. And you told me the curse, implying that you suspected me of being the one who took it. Well, you know, Mom, you were right. Dinei hakesef iti. Here the money is with me. Ani lekachtiv. I took it. And Vatomer Emo and his mother said to him, Baruch B'ni Hashem, you know, you're blessed. I take away my curse, and I bless you instead. The Malbim here, the Malbim says, that, what's that, of the story? Yeah, I mean, I guess, I don't know, you're right, but what's the significance of this? We'll have to see if we can just, you know, figure out if how significant this is that he took it and then he gave it back and why that, where that fits in. Why did he steal the money? Good question. Yeah, so that's a good question. The Malbim here says that there's a halacha in Koshin Mishpat that one who curses someone, so they shouldn't say, if you want to curse someone who stole from you, they shouldn't say, whoever stole from me, you know, should be cursed. Rather, they should say, whoever has the money and doesn't return it should be cursed. So he says that was how she cursed him. That was the curse that she made, was that whoever hakesef ito. Do we see that in the pasuk here? I don't think so. Whoever has the money and doesn't return it, because the point isn't. The point of cursing someone who steals, again, we have to see in Chosha Mishpah what the context of this is, why we're cursing someone. But it says, if you want to curse someone who stole from you, you know, don't curse them for their actions. Curse them for not, you know, not doing tshuva, not returning the money. And so... Okay. Right. We always Hashem wants tshuva, doesn't want the lobe. He doesn't want the misa of Rishayim, right? He wants tshuva. So the same thing when you want to put a curse on someone, it's halacha and Chosha Mishpat that the curse should be whoever has the money and doesn't return it. And so the Malbim says and the purpose is to get the person to return it. Malbim says that was what was going on here also, that she hadn't cursed whoever stole it, then there would be no point of doing tshuva. You wouldn't get yourself out of the curse, not no point, but it wouldn't have gotten him out of the curse, but because the curse was, you know, whoever takes the money and doesn't return it, so then when he returned it, so everything, you know, she said, you know, Baruch B'ni Hashem, you're blessed, and everything is okay. Yeah. And he returned the 1,100 silvers to his mother. Vatomer Imo, and his mother said, take this money. I've sanctified, I've been maxish this money, I've dedicated this money to Hashem from my hand, with me, for my son. La'asos pesel ma'aseicha. In order to make a pesel ma'aseicha, two languages of idols or graven images, a pesel means the Mishnah says means a handmade idol, and maseicha means that form it out of metal. There's different ways, different tools. One is I guess more hand shaped, and the other is with using blacksmith tools. And but that's if you want. If you want one of these things, the ata ashivenu lach. And now I'm going to return the money to you. I want you to take this silver and make it into a idol. What? I mean, why is it Lashem if they're making it into an idol? Yeah, it's a good question. So, much of the Avodah Zarah practice in the time of the Nevi'im was what we call Shituf, was joining together, you know, Hashem with other forces, and recognizing that Hashem runs everything, but believing that he entrusts his other forces and other powers and other beings with you know, rights to be in control of certain areas and certain things, and that would seem to be what was going on here, that there was a Avodah Zarah of Shituf, which was really, I think, the most common type of Avodah Zarah in their time. What? Still, right, but in their minds, it's still they're still serving Hashem. It's just
be a share of it.
So Rashi here mentioned that, you know, you might think that this 1100 kesef sounds familiar.
Yeah, from Shimshon.
From Shimshon. What happened in Shimshon?
She that was her price from all the Plishtim princes.
Excellent. So Delilah's price for handing over Shimshon was 1,100 silver. 1,100. Now,
yeah, from each of them.
Oh, so good point. So it's from each of them, right? So here it was, you know, so Rashi says you might say that there are those who want to say that this woman was Delilah and her son was, and he took his look at the, you know, 1,100. And he said it's a mistake, because this happened way before Shimshon. He doesn't mention this point. It's also a good point that there she was paid 1,100 from each of them. Although, you know, you could still make a, you know, relate that, and say she took some of her money, you know, one portion, and devoted it for this. But no, he says it wasn't the real, this happened way before Shimshon. But this is what the Farshim say, the connection between the two sections is this 1,100 silver that, you know, sort of led to Shimshon's destruction and leads to Pesel Micha, and that's the connection between these two parshios. That's why they are found together. Now, Micha, what? Shimshon was from Dan. Micha was not from Dan, but we'll see Dan, the Shevet Dan does get involved, but Micha was not from Dan. Actually, I'm not sure what Shevet, I'm thinking of, there's another character we're going to introduce to. Micha, you think, was from Dan also? Okay, we'll see. I'm not sure if we know. I mean, we see that Micha lived in Har Ephraim, so I think maybe he's from Ephraim, but I guess we'll see if yeah. So what happens? Pasuk Dalet, Vayashav es hakesef l'imo, and he returned the money to his mother. He said, no thank you, I'm not getting involved in this. Remember, this fits into that Micha was still a good guy, and he didn't want to make the Avodah Zarah. He didn't want to provide the money for the Avodah Zarah, and he declined his mother. Vatikach ima masayim kesef. So his mother took 200 of the silver, vatitneyu latzareish, and she gave it to a molder, a blacksmith of some sort.
Silversmith.
Thank you. I guess we're working with silver, so it'll be a silversmith. Vayaseyu
pesel
masayim. Right, tzareish means to form, to refine.
Yeah, right, to refine through fire.
Yeah. Right. So right.
Yeah,
so,
right.
And we're dealing with silver. So right. So it's a silversmith. Vayaseh pesul maseicha, and he made it into a idol. Vayibaveis michayu, and it was in the house of Micha of Michayu. Now, Even though, what's that? Not necessarily. Doesn't seem so. So, right. So, it seems that that much he let in. You know, he let it into his house. So, you know, just even taking a step back. So, first of all, it says he took 200 silvers. So, what are the, you know, it's not clear, and I think different questions take different stances. Was the 200 silvers the payment for the silversmith, and he made it out of the 900 remaining, or did she decide to only use 200 towards the formation of the idol? Either way, you know, this pestel is created. Right, and then it ends up in the house of Michal. So the Malbim says that even though Micha did not want to, you know, participate in the forming of the idol, but he did relent and he did allow it to be placed in his house. And in doing so, he transgressed a law in the Torah, a negative commandment, that you're not allowed to bring an idol into your house. Pasuk says, that you can't have Elohim Acherim, you can't have other gods. And Rashi there says that the lav is that you can't have, even leave it in your house, you can't have idols in your house. And he transgressed that lav. You want to know what his intent was? Was he trying to keep it away from her? I don't know. That what? Oh, keep of aim. Yeah, I don't know. But he was over a lab, he transgressed the lab in doing so. And then, in Pasuk Hey, what does that lead to? The Aish Micha lo beis Elohim. This man Micha had some kind of, he either had or he made a beis Elohim, he made a house for this idol. Vayas ephod ushrafim, and he made an ephod, an apron similar to the ephod of the Beis HaMikdash, and he made shrafim, which are these little mini idols that talk based on using magical properties. And he appointed one of his sons to be a Kohen to this, to be a priest for this idol. Malbim says, Avera Goreris Avera, one Avera leads to the other. You know, he started by just letting it into his house, and before you know it, he builds a temple for this idol, and then he makes other things that are involved in the service of the idol.
Can I ask you something about that?
Sure.
The art scroll, and I think...
That he had a base seller.
Well, the art scroll, and I think the rabbi, you know, said he had a house of idolatry. But the Hebrew is Beit Elohim, house of God.
Well, Elohim just means God, or God, right? That's the term that we use for idols also, right? You shouldn't have other gods.
Well, yeah, who says they were other gods?
Well, he's making a house for this idol.
He could have met... could be a nickname. But it says Beit Elohim.
Right.
Which, if you give him the benefit of the doubt...
Which we're not necessarily going to do because he's taking an idol here and...
Oh, no. He could have been doing the same thing that we did in the desert. This is our God.
Yeah,
this is our
he
God.
Is. That's not good.
Well, I didn't say it's good, but it's not as bad as saying it's another God. Okay, I don't know where that is. Where is that? Uh-huh. All right. Seraphim. David Hemelis. David HaMelech had teraphim in his house. He did.
Not in.
He did.
The wife.
What?
The wife.
No. He did.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't comment on that, but I mean, yeah. So possible. Everyone here seems to understand that he was either he already had some kind of house of idolatry, or he made one for this idol. And yeah, no, absolutely. I think, you know, the ego and the golden calf, right? There's many, you know, justifications to try to understand why they did that. But obviously, it's, you know, one of the greatest sins in our history. And whether their intent was that, you know, this is a vehicle to access God or whatever it was, but it's still, you know, considered one of the greatest catastrophes.
I don't doubt that for a second. So it's not as bad as saying it's another God.
Fine. So maybe a house for the vehicle that he wants to use, the idol that he wants to. At the bottom line is this is a grave sin.
This is a grave sin.
This is a house for that idol.
Right.
Whatever
what
it represents.
Is it an idol of?
Okay.
It could be an idol of. You shouldn't be doing this.
Right.
Hashem, just like we did in the desert.
Right. So it's good that you bring that up now, because Micha, we've met Micha before. Micha, as I mentioned, you know, some of these characters appear earlier in the story of the Jewish people and the desert, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that Micha was called Micha Shenismach Mechem Babinyan because he was crushed into the building. He was smushed into the building. That's where the word name Micha comes from. Now, what does that mean? So Rashi tells us, and I believe there are other midrashim that allude to this. Rashi refers to Agada, that when Paro increased the work in Mitzrayim, so in this coming week's parsha, so Moshe said to Hashem, "Atah haroso l'amazeh, you've done bad for this nation. Look what happened. You sent me to Paro, and now Paro got angry, and he's increased the work, and he's holding back, supplies. And if they don't have enough supplies, so you know what they have to do? They're making them place their children instead of the brick. That they had to take their babies and place them in the brick." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Moshe, the babies that they are taking are kotzim. They're thorns. These are the babies that are going to amount to nothing but trouble for the Jewish people. And that it's Goli Lefanai, it's known to me. If they would live, they are going to be Rishayim Gemurim, complete Rishayim." And says Hashem to Moshe, "If you want, you can try me. Try me. Take one out and see what happens." Took one out, and that was Micha. Since Machmes, the Binyan, he had been crushed, smushed into the building, Moshe rescues him, and he turns into this person, Micha. Now, that's not the last we've heard of Micha. Micha had a very other important role, which was that when the Jewish people, the other Midrashim referring to this, when the Jewish people were leaving Mitzrayim, So Moshe goes to retrieve Yosef's remains. Rashi quotes Agada, which is a Medrash somewhere. I didn't track down the Medrash, but that's Rashi on the Gemara in Sanhedrin.
Wouldn't a simpler explanation of his name be that it means who is like God?
Um, why would it mean that?
What?
What do you mean by that?
I mean, it's something called Occam's Razor. You always pick the simplest explanation for something that's most likely to be right. His name means who's like God.
Mikael.
Or Mikael, which also means who is like God. Doesn't his name simply mean who is like God?
Maybe Mikael, I can mean that. Mikael, not really, but...
Really?
I mean, there's no same Hashem in Micha.
Well, that's a nickname.
Right, that's the shortened...
That's a shortened version, right? His original name was... Mikhayehu.
Yeah, so that would mean that.
Like God.
Yeah, no, yeah, certainly. Yeah, this is the midrashic meaning of it. Right? I mean, it's machmes b'dinyan, he was crushed into the building stone. Now, when the Jewish people leave Mitzrayim, so Moshe Rabbeinu goes to retrieve Yosef's bones, and he writes on a paper, I don't remember what word, ego or para or something, or is it same Hashem, he writes something that what? Same on the first? There's something to do with ego, though, because he's retrieving Yosef, who's the Har Shar, he's the ox, and he uses that paper to bring Yosef's bones up from the bottom of the Nile River. And who runs and tracks down that paper? None other than our friend Micha. Micha goes and he tracks down that paper, and just a couple years, a year and a half, 2 years later, when the Jewish people are forming the Egel, so Micha appears on the scene once again. He's holding on to his paper still, and he throws it into the pot of gold, and the Egel is formed. What? He puts it. I thought you put it into the, maybe there's different midrashim. I thought that it got its form from the paper, but I thought you put it into the molten gold and it got its form. So we've met Micha before. He's made problems already, and here he is again to make more problems. Okay, so at this point he's made, for now, he's appointing his son to be a Kohen. Right. Yeah. So, Pasuk Vav, in those days there was no king of Israel. Each person did what was straight in his eyes. Everybody was doing their own thing. And the Mepharshim say, the Radak says, that the point of what the Pasuk is trying to tell us, what the Navi is trying to tell us, is that there was no one to stop Micha. There was nobody to say anything, and sort of everybody was doing their own thing. There was no power, there was no melech, and that's why it was just allowed to go on, even though it, we'll see that it begins to draw many people after it and create big problems for the Jewish people to cause them to serve the Avodah Zarah, but there was nobody to stop them. Isha Yashar Be'enov Yasa. Pasuk Zayin, now we're introduced to our second really interesting character in this story. Vayihi Na'ar Mibeis Lechem Yehuda. There was a lad from Beis Lechem in Yehuda, Mimishpachas Yehuda, from a family of Yehuda, Vehu Levi. And he was a Levi, Vehu Garsham. And he lived there, he was living there in Beis Lechem Yehuda. So...
I'm
So we're introduced to this young man. Seems to be, he was from Yehuda, he was from a family of Yehuda, but he was also a Levi. So, you have to understand what that means. He was Mimishbachas Yehuda, and he was a Levi. And this man went from the city, from Beis Lechem and Yehuda, to live wherever he would find a place to live. Vayavo Har Ephraim, and he came to Har Ephraim at Beis Micha, to the house of Micha, Lasso, Starko. Rashi says that means on his way. It was on his way, he happened to pass by Micha's house. Vayomer lo Micha me'ayin tavo. And Micha said to him, where do you come from? Vayomer Eilav, and he said to him, Levi Anofi mi Beis Lechem Yehuda. I'm a Levi from Beis Lechem in Yehuda. Vi Anofi Holei Fagor Basher Emta. And I'm going to live wherever I find, meaning wherever I find Parnasa, wherever I find livelihood, that's where I'm going to live. Micha said, wonderful. Vayomer lo Micha, and Micha said to him, Shva Yimadi, stay with me. And be the leader here, be the Kohen, be the priest here, and I'll take care of you. And I will give you 10 silvers for a year. Yamim here refers to a year. The Erech Begadim Umichyasecha. And the proper amount of clothing that you need for the year, and I'll provide food for you. The lady went, meaning he listened, he accepted. What? How could he be Yehuda and Levi? Yeah, very, very good question.
Was a Levite assigned to Yehuda? He was assigned to. He was assigned to the family.
Okay, so the Mefarshim will have a lot to say about this. So so we'll see what they say in a moment.
He married into the family. His father did.
Let's just sing us the last few psukim. Vayoel ha-levi vashevet ha-sayish. And the levi began to dwell there with Micha. Vayi ha-nar lo ke'acha mi-banav. And this lad was like one of Micha's sons who took care of him. Vayimale Micha es yad ha-levi. And Micha gave him the position, he appointed him. Vayivo hanar lekohen, and the lad was a kohen for him. Vayivo beis Micha, and he remained in the house of Micha. Vayomer Micha, and Micha said, Ata yadati, now I know, ki yetiv Hashem li, that Hashem has done good for me, ki hayo li alevi lekohen, because he provided me with this levi to be a kohen. Look, everything is working out. It's all in Hashem's hand. This must be what Hashem wants from me, because look, I made this tessel, and then a Levi came along, and that's what a Levi does. A Levi acts as a Kohen, he's a priest, and this is meant to be. Everything is just dandy. Okay, so who was this? Who was this young man? So let's go back to Pasuk Zion. So as we said, he was from Beis Lechem Yehuda, Mishpachas Yehuda, from a family of Yehuda, and he was a lady. So Pasuk Shat, simple reading, we could go either way. We could go with, different Mefarshim say differently. Rashi says that Pasuk Shat was that he was from Yehuda. He was a Levi from his mother. His mother was from the Levite. The Malbim goes with the opposite, that he was a Levi, and his mother was from Yehuda. So, you could go both ways. Now, the Gemara really gets into this fellow. The Gemara in Bava Basra The Gemara is discussing whether the mother's family, whether it's called your mishpacha. Okay, I'm not sure what the context is, the Gemara starts. The mother's family is not called mishpacha. That's it. Look at this pasuk. It says there was a lad from Beis Lechem Yehuda. He was from mishpachas Yehuda, and he was a Levi. So the Gemara says this itself is a contradiction. On the one hand, it says he was from the family of Yehuda, so we see he was from Yehuda. On the other hand, it says he was a Levi, so must be that his father was a Levi, and his mother was from Yehuda, and we have a proof that the mother's family is called your mishpacha, called mishpachas Yehuda. So the Gemara says, no. Amar Rava by Rav Chanan, lo. His name was Levi. His name was Levi. Gavra d'shmei Levi. He wasn't from Levi, his name was Levi. Okay. That's his response. And you have no proof, really, he was from Yehuda, and his name was Levi, and you have no proof that that the mother's family is called Mishpacha. So the Gemara asks, what's that? Oh, so that's the next question of the Gemara. If so, so why does Micha say, you know, now I know that Hashem has done good for me because he gave me a Levi as a Kohen? So the Gemara says, yeah, he was still excited. In Disrami Le Gavra, Dishmei Levi. He was excited that he had a guy who came along whose name was Levi.
That doesn't work. It says HaLevi.
Oh, okay. We'll get there. Yeah, we're not done. So, but the Gemara says, you know, Micha was so excited that the guy's name was Levi. He says, you know, this is meant to be. The way they bring the Ritva here, the Ritva says that he thought that, you know, people will think that he's a Levi, you know, his name is Levi. Maybe, you know, it was probably more common in those days that if you were a descendant of Levi, then you had the name Levi. If you were not a descendant of Levi, you didn't have it, generally. So, perhaps. So he was so excited that his name was Levi. So the Gemara says, wait a second, you're telling me his name was Levi? His name wasn't Levi. His name was Yehonathan. Because in the next parak, we're going to be introduced, we're going to be told his name. I'm just scanning to find it.
Would it be verse Lamed?
Yes. So it says there, Vayakimu Lohem B'nei Dan as apostle. The B'nei Dan, they raised up, they established, they set up this Pesel. The Yehonasan ben Gershom ben Manasseh, who banat hayuklanim l'shevet hadoni ad yom vos haaretz. And Yehonasan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, him and his sons were the Kohanim. And the Gemara understands that we're still talking about the same person. And his name was Yehonasan. So what do you mean, says the Gemara, that his name was Levi? His name was Yehonasan. So the Gemara responds, wait a second, you think he's Yehonasan? Yeah, you think it's the same guy? It says that he was Ben Menasseh. Yeah, no, John is definitely involved in the story, as we'll see. So, it says he was Ben Menasseh. It says Yehonasan,
yeah,
Ben Gershom, Ben Menasseh.
He's the son of Moshe Rabbeinu. Grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu. He embarrassed his grandfather, so he put in the nun.
How do you know?
I've been through this before.
So that's what the Gemara says. No. He wasn't the son of Menasseh. He was the son of Moshe. Dechsev, B'nai Moshe, Gershom, Eliezer, right? We know Moshe's sons were named Gershom and Eliezer. And this guy is named Yehonasan, big Gershom, Ben Menashe. So why does it call him Menashe? Mitokse Asa Maise Menashe. He did something, he acted like Menashe, not Menashe the Ephraim of Menashe, but Menashe the son of Chizkiah, Menashe the Rasha, who was also involved in idolatry. Since he did Maise Menashe, he did something like Menashe, so it called him like he was Menashe. And so too, says the Gemara, that's why it says he was from Yehuda. Because Menashe was from Yehuda, and Mitoksha Asa Maisa Menashe, the Asim Yehuda, since he acted like Menashe, came from Yehuda, that's why it called him from Yehuda. And at the end of the day, we don't have a proof that Mishpachat Ha'aim, the mother's family, is called Mishpacha. And at the end of the Gemara here, we're coming out that he was a Levi, because he was a descendant of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the great-grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu. The grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the son of Gershom, the son of Moshe. He was the grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he was from Levi. And now it makes sense that Michal was happy that he got a Levi, not just any Levi, the grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that who is going to be the Kohen for the Pesel of Michal. No, he's called Yehuda because he did a Maisa Menashe, he did a deed like Menashe. What's that? Yeah, but still, that's what it's referring to him as. Okay, so next time we're going to have to start with discussing how could it be or why did Moshe deserve that to have such a grandson come from him. All right.